Sip, Create, Repeat, a podcast where makers meet marketers and share their stories. So fill up your cup and turn it up.
Welcome back to another episode of the Sip, Create, Repeat podcast. We're your hosts, Chris Schneider.
And I'm Pat Rauta.
On this episode, we're going to talk about Facebook for Business and specifically ways that you can leverage Facebook's 2.41 billion monthly active users to build a larger brand following.
Yeah. Let's be real. Everyone's on Facebook.
Yeah.
98% of B2C businesses have a business Facebook page, and 89% of B2B companies do. And that's courtesy of our friends over at Hootsuite. Like, so everyone is using it, whether you're business, personal, all the way around.
I think one of the common questions we get, really, as an agency that manages social media accounts and offers social media advertising, is can you use Facebook as a B2B space? Everyone always thinks of LinkedIn as that B2B space. And I can say with confidence, even not knowing the Hootsuite statistic, which is crazy, but Facebook specifically is a great B2B driver. We get a lot of traffic from Facebook, whether it's in ads or organic posting, and we're a service-based, you know, marketing agency. Versus if you were in any other realm, you still can. You got to remember, at 2.41 billion active monthly users, you're playing a numbers game, right?
Yeah, like, that's right.
There's a good chance that your people are out there, and if you're not attracting them, then maybe it's the content you're putting out isn't quite right, or maybe if you are running ads, then maybe the targeting isn't correct, but your users more than likely are there.
Right. Like, as an agency, we are B2B, and I personally use Facebook. So right. Obviously, like, things that I like on there, things that I follow, things that I'm sharing, are all basically building a profile on Facebook that, if I see someone advertising their services as like a B2B or something an agency might use, i.e. like a Hootsuite ad, guess what? That's a tool we use here,
right?
Based off of things that I like and target. Like, they're going to reach me because I'm on that platform.
Yeah. Yeah. And so one of the stats that we saw out there was the monthly fluctuation, if you would, in page likes. So everyone always gets hung up on their page likes. How many people, you know, follow my Facebook page, how many people like my Facebook page? And month to month, you could see 0.15% up or down either way. So yeah, don't freak out if you all of a sudden have a couple of followers drop off, and then all of a sudden you have a couple followers, follow you again. So don't panic either way. You should be playing a long game with Facebook. You shouldn't be looking at it as a short-term solution.
Facebook's like the stock market. It's going to go up, it's going to go down, and the goal is to always trend more up than you are down.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So what are some good ways you can set up your Facebook business page for success?
So I think one thing that people, especially small businesses that are just getting going or haven't really put like their effort into Facebook yet, they don't realize that Facebook, I think it was in 2019 or maybe 2018, they started rolling out Facebook page templates. So based on the industry that you're in, you could have a template to choose from. There's 10 to choose from at this point for services. Like, if you're a service-based company, if you're a film, regular kind of overall business platform, if you're a venue, a nonprofit, politicians, restaurants and cafes, shopping, video page, or just a standard Facebook page. So those are going to give you a bunch of different layouts. You know, sometimes you don't, like, if you're, let's say if you're a politician, you might not need reviews for your Facebook. I don't know, maybe that's a good thing.
You might not want
them. You might not want them. But there are different ways that it kind of organizes the information that's on your page, and I think it's important. And I know for service-based businesses, it, you know, brings reviews up higher and kind of puts more of an emphasis on certain things like that. So
yeah, so I think using one of those templates is probably a great start, and then you got to go into personalizing it. So right. How can you, you know, create a great cover photo or a cover video, your avatar? What are the things that are then going to start to show your company's personality on that page once you've got the bones in place from one of those templates?
Right, right. And I think, like, branding is key here, right? Like, we can go back to our previous episode and talk about branding all day long, but, like, having that eye-catching cover image or a video, that all goes back to brand. How does it tie back to you? And how can, like, when people see that, they should automatically start to associate whatever feeling you're trying to get them to you know, have with your business,
right?
They should get that by looking at the Facebook cover.
And that's even going to go into like the brand voice again, because how are you going to speak to that audience on Facebook, and in what way? So like, what call to action are you going to use? Like, are you going to strictly just be very serious? Are you going to tend to have a little more playful post? Are you going to, you know, there's a thousand different ways you can go, but you need to connect with your audience on Facebook the way your brand wants to talk on that platform.
Yeah, the consistency has to be there. Another thing that you can do when setting up your page for success is leveraging recommendation or reviews. So, you know, we do this a lot, especially service-based industries. Getting those reviews, getting those testimonials, if you would, are so key, because then people that are cold, people that have never seen your business before, your brand before, if they go there and they see loads of reviews that are really great, there's a good chance that they're going to reach out to you for whatever your service is if they're looking for it. If you only have a couple, maybe they'll be a little skeptical about it. But, you know, I think that starts to give people a clear picture as to how people feel about your company without looking for something that, you know, maybe they feel like people are faking it on other review websites.
Right. And you know, as consumers, we're always looking for that proof, that social proof. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm probably more likely to go out and buy something that you have told me about and said, hey, did you see this? Check this out. You know, so the more that you can drive like those personal connections where it's like, I want to read what other people are saying. I know you're always going to talk in like the best light about your product. But if all of a sudden you have a bunch of reviews that are saying like, this thing changed my life, or I would never go back and use something this way, or like this agency has been great and they've delivered A, B, and C results, like they would do great things for your company. All of those things are going to go a long way in helping you convert no matter what you're looking to convert on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I was shocked one day we were looking for like a tree trimming service locally, and a couple of people were recommended this one page. And you know, sometimes in those service-based areas and with tree trimming and stuff, it's hit or miss whether they're really well reviewed or really poorly reviewed. And I went to the one that was really recommended from a handful of friends, and this guy had over 195 star reviews. He had, I think it was like 192 reviews total, and every one of them were 5 stars, and I've never seen that. So of course, like, I immediately reach out to him. I'm like, okay, then I don't even need to shop around. Like, clearly this is who I need to use for this service. And yeah, it made it very quick decision versus, you know, had he had a bunch of, you know, negative reviews sprinkled in there, then maybe I would have started to look around other options. But the point is I was able to see how other people experienced you know, working with this company, and I could kind of make my conclusion based on their experiences, whether or not I wanted to work.
Right. Now you're letting your audience do the selling for you. Right. And guess what? You never even had talked to that business owner, reached out to anyone from that company. You already had a level of comfort with them because of what everyone else was saying about them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, obviously getting that organic interaction, getting that organic engagement is great, but we all know Facebook is kind of a pay-to-play situation as well, mm-hmm. especially when on the business side. So, like, how can businesses use the Facebook ads to their advantage if they're not maybe getting the best organic reach to start off?
Right. So, one thing that you should know is Facebook organic posts are going to go to about 2 or 3% of your following total. So let's say for numbers perspective, and to make math real easy, you have 100 followers on your page. Like, every time you post, it's going to be shown to 2 or maybe 3 people, unless it's a really good post. Right. So we can talk
unless
about
it's getting a lot of engagement, unless it's getting some comments and shares and things like that.
So what you can start to do, especially, I feel like Facebook really works well. So it's a good lead gen, platform, which means, okay, if let's say I'm a law firm and I need to get leads in for people that, you know, have personal injury or whatever, I want to put my name out there so that I can start to get a lot of people calling us, emailing us, contacting us, trying to book appointments. They might not all pan out, but that's kind of what a lead gen or lead generation campaign is. Facebook's really good for that from an advertising standpoint. It's also really great from an e-commerce standpoint, because you get your products out in front of people. And again, like, I don't want to keep going back to it, but it's just kind of there that over 2 billion, almost 2.5 billion active monthly users, like, running ads that are going to get in front of more than 2 to 3% of your following is going to start to get in front of like a majority of, you know, who you want to get in front of. So Facebook ads and businesses, if you're a business that's not running Facebook ads, or you've never run Facebook ads before, I think you need to really think about doing it. And I also would really urge you to reach out to, you know, like a social media advertising company, to at least get you set in the right path. We've seen a lot of people waste a lot of money with Facebook ads because they didn't quite know how to target them. They didn't quite know like how to optimize for certain things. And you can burn through a lot of money very quickly if you don't know what you're doing with it. So while it is there and it is something that you can find a lot of success with, you do still have to be careful because it will, you can spend quite a bit of money in a short period of time.
So you're saying if I'm just throwing my $50 behind a boosted post that it might not be the most effective way to reach my audience?
Yes, I am saying that. So a lot of people, so Facebook has that, you know, sometimes it's like a shiny button, right? Like you just want to push the button and it says boost this post and you're trying to get it to like maybe get more likes, more comments, more shares. Boosting a post is going to get it in front of more of your followers generally, but it's not really going to do much else than that. So, okay, if you want to reach your...
I just want to get eyes on
it. If you just want to reach your audience that you have as a following, if you're fine with your 100 followers and you want to get to as many of those followers as possible, sure, you can boost a post, but it still limits your control over what you can do with it. Whereas if you set it up as an actual Facebook ad, you could then say, hey, I only want to target people that like my page. Or maybe I want to target people that like my page and their friends, right? So that it starts to get in front of more and build more. So you have that control when you're doing ads. You have less of that sort of control when you're doing boosted posts.
Well, and ads probably have a level of sort of learning that boosted posts don't. They say, okay, hey, throw in this list of who you want to target, and then we'll get it out to them. Whereas I'm guessing ad campaigns have the ability to sort of learn and grow as you're saying, well, hey, this audience responded well, this one didn't. On the campaign level, let's maybe shift some stuff to this audience versus another one.
So ads are going to enable advertisers. So if you're running the ads yourself as a business owner or you're paying someone, so advertisers and marketers, to get as complex or simplistic as they wish, right? So you can run something that basically equates to a boosted post, but maybe is a little bit more targeted, to keep it really simple and just to try to get your brand out there. Or you can get really complex and you can do all kinds of stuff. Like, you know, if you're an e-commerce store and you want, if someone views a product on your website, I know everyone, you know, has seen this before, like you go on like an online store. I know Amazon was really notorious for this for a while. You go to an online store, you look at something, you're looking it over on the product page, and then you leave and you decide, like, I'm not going to buy that right now. And then all of a sudden you start to get ads that say, like, hey, you forgot to check out. And you're like, you know what? Quit following me, right? Like, that's creepy. But, you know, those are some of the more complex things that you can do in terms of retargeting based on, you know, a page that you've viewed specifically. And it's a really effective way to run ads. I think if you're trying to measure what your return is on ads, right, and your return on ad spend, or ROAS, as some of the advertisers and marketers are going to refer to it as, you're typically, if it's set up well, your best return is going to be on those things that are retargeted and those things where people have been like pretty deep into your website and then left, and then you serve up an ad to them again. And a lot of times you're going to get them back to check out or book an appointment.
Yeah. And I think probably part of the success they're having with the retargeting on Facebook is, you know, the same thing applies sometimes when you go to a website and you'll see that banner ad somewhere on the top or side or middle of that feels like I am getting advertised to, versus seeing something in my feed when I'm like looking at, you know, pictures of your kids here, and then maybe something like
pictures
of dogs posted here, and then I'm seeing something that I then search in feed.
Right.
It just feels a little more it feels organic,
natural, right?
Even though it's not. It feels natural because it just it's not like, hey, I'm not driving down the highway getting blasted with a big billboard right here. Right?
So to me, the best Facebook ads are the ones where like the creative stands out, but doesn't make you wonder, why am I even seeing this right now? Right. So like you go to so many websites and you see like their large billboard ads and stuff that they have on their websites. And oftentimes you think like, I don't care. I don't need this. Or, you know, YouTube is pretty notorious about this. If you're not signed in when you go to a YouTube like video, it just serves up a random ad to you because it thinks you like it. And you're like, I want nothing to do with this right now. You know, like I don't play Fortnite. I don't need a Fortnite like advertisement in front of me. But when you're scrolling in a feed and you see like, you know that a lot of your friends might have kids and a lot of your friends might have dogs. And all of a sudden you see a product for a dog, you know, a new leash, a fun collar, whatever it is. All of a sudden it kind of makes you stop. And then if it's, you know, if the copy's written well too, like it'll get you to click really quickly. And it's so simple, right? Yeah. It is just a one, like it's a tap of your thumb. You can be on this site without, because it, you know, brings up that little browser inside of Facebook. So you never really leave Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook never wants you to actually leave their sort of network.
Yeah. And so like you can almost like view everything and then you can close out of it later and say, ultimately, maybe I don't want to do that right now. But the really fun thing is if you're a business owner and someone gets an ad on Facebook when they're on mobile, you can then serve up that ad again to that same person when they're on desktop. And there's a lot of ad platforms out there, digital ad platforms, that wish they could do that. Because you're logged into Facebook, it can track some of that for you.
Right.
Right. So there's not too many apps out there that you can go from mobile and see an ad, and you can go to desktop and see the same ad, or at least the same, you know, same company's ads. Right. And then convert them into, you know, a customer or a lead or a sale or whatever
you're trying to track it.
Yeah. So Facebook ads are powerful. And really, if you're trying to make the most out of your page and if you're trying to build a huge audience, I think that's one of the key areas that you can really start to leverage. You know, if you're looking at, you know, as we right now, the time of this recording, it's the end of 2019 or close to the end of 2019. We're in Q4. If you're looking at your 2020 marketing budgets, to me, you need to include Facebook ad money in there. And you need to be ready to like commit a little bit to it, because that's when you really start to see results. You know, we have people that'll $50 on a boosted post and they get nothing out of it. And while I'm not saying $50 is a small amount of money, or, you know, it's not a big amount, it's not a small amount. Like I view it as a good investment. It's just, you're putting your money in the wrong basket by putting a boosted post behind right. it versus, you know, if you spent $50 in a day on a Facebook ad, you might get some good results from it.
Exactly. So I think, you know, the next thing is Facebook seems to be making this big push about community. You know, they got a lot of flack. You know, last year and into the beginning of this year, of they're kind of maybe too much on the business side. So it seems like they're making a big push for groups for mm-hmm. their users to connect with. Mm-hmm. Is there any value in businesses utilizing groups?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, this kind of goes back to ads a little bit. So just to give you guys an idea, Facebook's corporate mission is to give people the power to build community and bring the world closer. That is their corporate mission statement directly from them. So if you really want to figure out how to leverage Facebook, like figure out a way to build a community. And the best way to build a community on Facebook is by setting up a group. And really, you know, last month, me and my family traveled to Chicago, and as we were going around Chicago, walking around the city or getting on public transportation and looking around, I saw billboard after billboard after billboard for like, find your group, find your community, find your tribe, and it was a Facebook groups ad every single time. And I was surprised, and it really caught me off guard. I actually snapped a couple of photos on my phone because I was surprised at how often I was seeing them. Like, they're making pushes in large cities for people to join in. You know, some of the stats they were putting up there was like, you know, hey, you're a running enthusiast, and of course this was the weekend before the Chicago Marathon, so it's pretty funny, join the, you know, 1 billion other, you know, Facebook users that are in running groups, or, you know, their ads were set up that way, these billboards were set up that way. But really it goes back to, you know, Facebook ads are also like, it's going to matter how good your page is set up. And Facebook, if they see that you're running an engaging group, but a group that gets a lot of comments, likes, a lot of engagement that you don't specifically start, if you can start to get user-generated engagement in your groups, Facebook, for the lack of better terms, is going to give you like extra like bonus points for that, right?
Right.
So you might start to see some of your ad costs go down. So you might be able to take that $50 and stretch it even further than you could before. And I think it's really important. So generally, any business is going to be in a niche. They're going to be in a specific area. And, you know, if you're a heating and cooling business in, let's say, I don't know, Indianapolis, right? You can start a Facebook group that's maybe for people that have, you know, air conditioners or, you know, people that need air conditioners. And you can always push people into that. There's ways that you can get really creative with setting up groups. And I encourage every business owner to do that, because that 2-3% that I mentioned before on the organic posts, that's going to go up significantly if you're contributing to a group.
Right. Like if you're, you know, going back to your heating example, you know, maybe if I'm owning a heating and cooling company, whether I have my own group or perhaps I am joined in, like maybe I'm in a like a DIYer group, mm-hmm. and people are asking like, I have this problem going on right now, and you're able to provide some, you know, quick tips of like, well, hey, this is a good way to do this, or maybe, hey, check out this video on YouTube that I made that it's like a tutorial on how to do some simple heating and cooling fixes, because there are a lot of people out there that want to do it on their own. Well, now you are a like knowledge base that someone has used, and you, hey, like, well, he didn't try and sell me. He was just giving me a good tip.
Yeah.
If I find myself in a situation where I have a bigger problem, guess who I'm more likely to go back to and actually use?
Yeah. And I think that's key. So often, you know, especially in service-based businesses, like you want them to pay before you do anything, right? You want to charge that $60, like, you know, I'm going to come out and do a diagnostic fee for $60 or whatever it is. But if you give, so let's say they have something that you know for a fact is a $20 part and it's an easy replacement, something, whatever, you know, I don't know HVAC all that well, but if it's a simple fix that you know is also a pretty cheap part, you can give them, to your point, create a YouTube video for how to fix that part.
Right. If it's a common fix that happens to a lot of people all the time, and that, you know, that might not be something that you're even targeting as a big service that you want to do. Like, you may not want to do that change because it is so small, and you going out there may be like not a great use of your time.
Yeah.
But if you can give that knowledge to someone and then they do it. And then when they go to, hey, maybe I need a whole new furnace, or I need something larger
bigger.
Done.
Right.
I'm going to think about those people that kind of helped me when,
right,
you know, they gave me something and didn't ask for anything.
Yeah.
Well, I'm more likely to go to them and give them something.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the automotive like repair space is really big on this. Like, there's so many accounts out there that, like, if you want to learn how to do brakes in your car, all you got to do is go to YouTube and you can watch videos, and half the time you could figure out how to do it, right? Like, but these are also places that are like auto repair shops that are putting these videos out there. So sure, they could be like, for me, I would do brakes in my car. For Pat, he's probably not gonna do brakes in your car.
I'm not doing brakes in my
car. But like, if I say, hey, like, I watched this YouTube video, these guys seem to really know their stuff on like this kind of car, you should totally like reach out to them and see like how much it is to do, brakes for your car. There's a good chance that maybe he's willing to do that. And if I have a bigger issue with my car, or maybe I don't have time to do that repair, I can then track down those people and say like, hey, I saw some of your videos on YouTube and you seem really knowledgeable. And the way that you can push all that stuff out, Facebook groups. You can create a group and you can push those people out so that they can see all of your information, in a video format, and maybe build a little bit more trust and authority to your business.
You're pushing that good quality engagement. And guess what? Facebook loves that, because as we said, their mission statement is to build a community and bring the world closer together.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think one more tip that I have for Facebook pages, and for businesses that are managing Facebook pages, probably the number one question is like, how often should I be posting? And I would say on Facebook, you don't need to post more than once a day. But you also, it's daunting to think of like posting once a day, right? Like 5 times, 7 times a week, you know, depending on if you're looking at it as a business week or not. 3 times a week, say you shoot for Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 organic posts a week. Try to bring value, try to give value to your followers, to the people that follow your page. And who knows, sometimes it might be free advice, free tidbits, free, you know, bits of information. It could be a tutorial. It could just be you like putting knowledge out there. But if you go 3 times a week, I think it's a manageable amount of content to create. And when you first start doing it, you're going to feel very overwhelmed. But if you really maybe set aside a day, you know, a month to do what, 4 weeks? So 12 posts, you're looking to do 12 posts in a month. I bet you, if you carved out a couple hours of time, and you had yourself set up correctly, you know, mentally, I think you could really produce 12 posts. So I think, that's a good way to go about it. 3 times a week, no more than once a day, if you're just getting moving, and then you can start to increase as you feel necessary.
Yeah. So it makes sense.
Yeah. So keep an eye out all month long, as we are going to be sending out as much information about Facebook for businesses as we possibly can, because we know that it's an area that people really, they do struggle with. And I know oftentimes business owners want to DIY it. They want to, you know, kind of manage everything themselves, or maybe they don't have the cash flow to pay an agency to do it for them. And that's fine. But all month long, we're going to be going and dropping a lot of information when it comes to Facebook and businesses. So be sure to visit our website, duocleveland.com or facebook.com/duocleveland, and keep an eye on those for the latest, greatest content when it comes to Facebook for your business. So thank you so much for tuning in. And yeah, we look forward to watching your pages grow.
That's right. All right. We'll see you.
See ya.